Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on, a man would think it tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, it would break the chains of sin's captivity. Precious blood has covered me. Thorns of violence and hate were growing wildly, and the sorrow they had caused was plain to see. But when that blood came streaming down that cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness going free. Precious blood has covered me. I'm so glad His precious blood has covered me.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. I don't know about you. I've already been stirred, haven't you? Boy, the music. Let me tell you something. Good music, and I said good music, will open the spirit to receive the preaching of the Word of God. And what you've heard this morning is good music, glorifying God. And I appreciate the hard work that's gone in to the music program this morning. Take your Bible, if you brought it with you this morning, turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 25, but while you're turning there, let me just kind of help you to catch you up on where the story begins in Acts chapter 16. Two men, one by the name of Paul, another by the name of Silas, entered into a city by the name of Philippi, and they went into that city because God had directed them in that city. They've already seen people, converts, people come to Christ. One, a lady by the name of Lydia, and her whole house had come to Christ. And so, they were riding a high. Well, there was a woman that came to them that was possessed of the devil. And she kept after Paul and Silas. And so finally, Paul just turned to this young girl, by the way, which was being used by evil men to make money off of her because she was full of the devil. And Paul looked at her and in the name of Jesus cast out those devils out of her. Now this didn't make the men that was using her very happy. And so they took Paul and they took Silas and drew them before the judges and the rulers of that city. And what we find here now is the judges and rulers of that city beat them and condemned them and cast them into prison. So if you found your place in verse 25 of Acts 16, would you stand with me? Let's stretch our legs for just one more time. We're going to be sitting long enough. We want to stretch our legs for just a moment. Now, these two men, two preachers now, you'd think they're pretty harmless, right? Two preachers, they've turned over to the jailer and they were given instructions. Listen, these two guys have turned our city upside down. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been preaching things that we've never heard of before in our life. He said, I want you to make sure that they're safe and you put them in as much stock and bonds as you can and you hold them and don't you dare let them have an opportunity to escape. So the jailer got the news and the scripture says he took them and put them in the innermost part of the prison. That means he took them as far into the center of the prison as he could. Listen to this, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You got to understand now, they're down as deep into the prison as you can get. Probably most people would be moping at this time. Most people would be complaining at this time. Most people would be looking at their surroundings and said, oh my goodness, we have gotten ourselves into a terrible situation. But here are two men, two preachers, Christians, that got thrown in prison. And the Bible says at midnight they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. Not just Paul and Silas, as you listen. Every door of every cell of every prisoner was opened at that time. And everyone's bands were loose. So not only did the doors open, all of their shackles fell off. Every one of them. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because that was the Roman custom, a life for a life. Somebody escaped under your watch, it was your life for their life. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, the jailer did, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, listen now, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now folks, listen, this is not going to be complex this morning. What was asked was a very simple question, right? Very simple question, what must I do to be saved? I know I've heard you guys singing, I've seen what you guys have been, I've heard about your testimony, I've heard you cast the devil out of that young girl, I've seen people in our city that have come to Christ. He said, but listen, I'm a Roman soldier. What must I do to be saved? Simple question, right? But listen, then came back a simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here's what I'm going to speak to you on this morning. A simple question with a simple answer. A simple question with a simple answer. Father, meet with us now this morning. We thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Thank you for our special guest. And Lord, would you show yourself mighty in the presence of the people of God this morning. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever asked somebody a simple question that probably could have been answered with just a yes and no answer? And they went on and on and on trying to explain that question. By the time they were finished explaining your question, you were totally confused. You ever know anybody like that? You see what it is, we tend to complicate things beyond what we should Because we take a simple question, turn it into a complex mess. When sometimes it just needs to be answered in the simplicity in which it is asked. Now, what we have before us today, dear people, is a very simple question, and they got back a very simple answer. Listen, Paul and Silas didn't try to over-explain. They didn't say, well, sit down right here. I need to take you all the way back to the garden. And I need to explain everything from the garden all the way to the present time that we're here. No, listen to me, my friend. He just asked a question. What must I do to be saved? You see, in our text, this Philippian jailer that was watching over these men just simply asked a question. Very simple, and he got back a very simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know what the thing I love about the Bible and the thing I love about God is this, is that God's not trying to play hide and seek with salvation. You see, you know what? We are totally depraved, my friend. And you know what? Most of us have this same question that this jailer had this morning. Some of you have the same question. Preacher, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how bad I've been. What must I do to be saved? I'll tell you the same thing Paul and Silas told this jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hey, it's a simple question with a simple answer. Listen to me, folks. We've made salvation so complex, nobody could be saved if it was left up to you. You see, God's made it very simple. Very simple, so that all could come to Him and be saved. You say, well, preacher, what brought on this question by this Philippian jailer? Well, I think it's a combination of things. First of all, I think what brought it on was the testimony of two men. Listen, if you're a child of God this morning, listen to me. Do you know somebody's watching you? Somebody's got their eye on you. They're watching you on your job. They're watching you in your neighborhood. They're watching how you're going to respond to adversity. And what we have here this morning is we have two men that are born-again believers, two children of God, and their circumstances look pretty bleak, don't they? They're in prison. They haven't done anything wrong. All they've done is preached. Hey, all they did was cast the devil out of a young girl and ended up in prison for it. Let me tell you something. I think that this Philippian jailer, this man, knew the testimony of Paul and Silas. Hey, listen, they were falsely accused. They were wrongfully entreated. They were beaten for no reason and for no purpose. When they got beaten and when they were put in prison, you know something else he noticed? He noticed he didn't hear any complaining about their circumstance and situation. Listen to me. You know what he heard? He heard singing. He heard praising God in the circumstances. You see, some of you here today, you know what? You're going through circumstances in life. And there are people that know not God. They're watching you. They're listening to you. They want to know what you have to say when you find yourself in your time of adversity this morning. I believe that the question came because of the testimony of two preachers, two Christians. I think it was also in combination of this. I think he also asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Because of the fear of the present conditions. I don't know how many has ever been in an earthquake, but it is a very unsettled feeling. When the earth begins to quake under your feet, all of a sudden you come to the conclusion, I have no control. I am at the mercy of whatever is happening here today. Listen to me, this jailer came and he understood the present conditions. He said, I'm about to die. I'm about to die. Listen, some of you have been there, haven't you? Yeah, you have. Yeah, you've been there and you thought, oh, I'm going to die. Lord, please help me. Come do something for me. Save me, Lord. You see, this Philippian jailer, he came and asked the question because of the fear of his present conditions. Hey, listen, can I say something to you? He thought he was going to die. He didn't know if he's going to be given a second chance or not. He didn't know any of that. And by the way, did you know he had no warning? There was no seismograph in his day. There was no alert channels to turn to. And they said, listen, today at such and such time, earthquake of this magnitude is going to happen in Philippi. Everybody take cover. Now, you know what? It just happened that quick. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. You have no idea when Mr. Death is going to come and find you. He doesn't announce himself. There is no deathograph. Listen, you're not going to be sent a letter. You're not going to be informed. He's just going to come and get you. You see, he was afraid of the present conditions. I think something else that led to that question was not only the testimony of these people, the fear of the present condition, but I think also the outlook for the future. Yeah, his outlook for the future. May I remind you, when the earthquake happened, the prison doors opened. All the shackles. Can you imagine this jailer? He's running. No. Yo, get back in there. You can't get escape. Get back in your cells. He said, don't you guys know Roman law is that if you escape, I've got to die in your place? Everybody, please get back in there. Do you know he didn't have to go around trying to herd chickens back into the cells? You hear me? He didn't have to do that. What he had to do was simply this. He had to make a decision. Do you want to die without Christ? Or do you want to accept Christ? You see, the outlook for his future was very, very bleak. Hey, he thought all the prisoners had escaped. Hey, listen, folks, this is how good God is. When the earthquake took place, all the doors opened, all the shackles fell off. You know where they went? Listen, they went to the center of the prison. You would think they'd be trying to run out. You know what? They ran in. Because Paul said, hey, listen, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Now, wait a minute. How would he have known that if they didn't come to him? Listen, the answer is in the previous verses. The scripture says that the prisoners heard them. You see, the prisoners heard the singing and the praising of two Christians in their day of adversity. And you know what it do? It did. It drew other people to them. You see, and all of a sudden, this Philippian jailer, he said, man, what do I have to lose? All the prisoners ran to these two preachers. Bless God, I'm running to them. I'm going to them. Hey, he thought they had all escaped. And by the way, he knew what the consequences of failure was. It was death. And you know what he was going to do? You listen to me. You know what he was going to do? He was going to commit suicide. Did you read it? He was going to take his sword and kill himself. You see, this jailer was literally moments away from ending his life. I don't know how many here today have been at that point. But you're here today because obviously if you came to that point, somebody intervened. And Paul said, look, do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. He said, there's no reason to take your life. Because listen, you know what the preacher knew? He knew if the jailer took his life, he'd burn in hell. So he said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. Now, I like this because when the jailer asked a simple question, he got a simple answer back. There's a couple of things I want you to think about, and then I'm going to move on. First of all, he went to the right source. Listen to me. He went to the only source that he knew. Isn't it amazing he didn't run to his false gods? You know, he didn't call on his false Roman philosophers. Hey, when he came down and it looked like he was fixing to die, you know where he ran? He ran to the source of the only people that he knew that he believed had the truth. Let me tell you something. You're here this morning. You're not here by mistake. You're here on purpose. You know why you came this morning? You came here, I promise you, the majority, you didn't come just to get barbecue. You say, oh no, preacher, that's what I came for. Well, guess what? You're going to get both. You're going to get some spiritual barbecue and you're going to get some physical barbecue. Hey, he just went to the right source. Hey, folks, listen to me. There's only one source and one way to the cross, and it's through Christ. Listen. He went to the right source. Number two, listen, he came with the right spirit. Yeah, he came with the right spirit. You know why? Because when the earth quakes and you have no control, you'll get your spirit right. Yeah, when things are totally out of your control, listen, how many of you have ever, and we don't have this too much here in Texas, but sometimes we get a little ice. And I've skated on ice a few times in my vehicle. And you know what we do when our car gets out of control and you know what that steering wheel starts doing? And listen, here's what we normally start doing. We start pushing the brake as hard as we can. And your car says, no response. And you begin to spin. And you know what most of us are doing? Oh, Lord God, help me. It'll get your spirit right. You see, he went to the right source. He came with the right spirit. Listen, he got the right answer. Got the right answer. Hey, he's just asking a simple question. He said, listen, guys, I'm fixing to die. He said, all these prisoners, you guys must have something I don't have. And so he came to them and he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what the preacher didn't say? The preacher didn't say, now wait, well, just hang on here just a minute. Weren't you one of them scoundrels that beat me yesterday? Weren't you one of the guys that helped out and punched me in the nose yesterday? Or beat me on the back? Now, you listen, I tell you, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to watch you. And then when I feel like it, I'll tell you how to be saved. Now, you know what? The preacher came and knew. Listen, when you go read the life of Paul and what he was before Jesus, you'll understand why when this Roman soldier came, Paul understood where he was. He understood where this Roman soldier had been. And he said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A simple question. And he got a simple answer. Hey, you know what this Philippian jailer did? He realized that he had a need for salvation. Listen, he realized that he had a need for salvation. Listen, open your Bible up. Look at verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Stop. Why did he come to the preachers? He had a need, right? Why are you here this morning? Because you have a need. You can't, listen, if you didn't think that you had a spiritual need this morning, you would never have shown up. So by your presence here, listen, you've already acknowledged that you have a need this morning. See, God used an earthquake to get this jailer's attention. Hey, did you notice he wasn't in the cell asking them, what must I do to be saved until after the earthquake? Listen, God used an earthquake to get his attention. Can I ask you something? What is it going to take to get yours? What's it going to take to get your attention? Is it going to take an earthquake? Is it going to take an accident? Is it going to take him taking your health until you're laying flat on your back in a hospital with tubes running up your nose and in your ears and out your mouth? What is it going to take for him to get your attention until you say, what must I do to be saved? Hey, it took an earthquake to get this guy's attention. Hey, he knew that whatever he was trusting in wasn't the answer. Yeah, he knew whatever he was trusting wasn't the answer, because when the earthquake came, he didn't fall down and start worshiping his Roman gods. He went and found the truth. He said, let me tell you something. These Roman gods I've been serving, they're just stinking statues. He said, I don't know what these men got, but they've got something I don't have. He had seen their testimony. He had heard them sing. Listen, he had to acknowledge his condition. He was lost. And he knew that if he died, he would die without God. Listen to me. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see that little word, all? That means everyone, excluding no one. So guess what I'm in the presence of today? A bunch of sinners. Some of you have been saved by grace, but you're still a sinner because you still do it, don't you? See, there's only two people here this morning. There's lost sinners and saved sinners. Now, your choice is going to be which side of the fence you're going to get on this morning. You can either stay where you are, or you can come over to the glory side. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to James 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You say, well, man, preacher, I've kept 9 of the 10 commandments. Guilty. You say, preacher, I've kept 9.5 of the 10. Guilty. Listen to me. There's nobody in this room that have kept the commandments. And so therefore, before a thrice holy God and a righteous judge, he has deemed you guilty in the presence of God. Guilty because we've sinned against a thrice holy God. You see, no one here has kept the Ten Commandments. And the Scripture says if you violated just one of them, you're guilty of all. And may I say to you this morning, I'll move on. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think, listen to me, the evidence is already out against you. The evidence has already been presented against you. And listen, the righteous judge is looking at the evidence and he's already deemed you guilty. And he's deemed me guilty before God. You see, this Philippian jailer had to realize that it wasn't his testimony that was going to save him. It wasn't doing things. Listen, he had no defense. There was no testimony that was going to get him off. He had no lawyer to defend him. So you know what he did? He just said, listen, what do I have to do? I'm a Roman soldier. What do I have to do to be saved? You see, he had to realize that there was a need of salvation. That Roman jailer didn't know how to be saved, or he wouldn't have asked the question. Right? See, he knew he didn't have what these two preachers had. Now listen, this morning, listen very carefully to me. You know whether you've been born again or not. Now you may be able to fool me, but you're not fooling God at death. Not going to fool him. But see, he had to understand that he was a sinner. The next thing I noticed is he knew that he wasn't ready to die. Go back to verse 29. And he came trembling. You ever been there? You ever been so afraid that you had the shakes? I've had that a few times, not just recently. I was almost in a terrible, awful car accident, and somehow, by the grace of God, I avoided it. But you know what? I had to pull over because I was shaking so bad. Well, after I almost was in that accident, I couldn't even drive. I couldn't think. I just sit there and I said, Lord, God, help me. My hands were shaking like this. You ever been there? Some of you are there right now. You say, no, I'm shaking. Look at here. I'm not shaking. Preacher, look at there. Yeah, but inside you're shivering. Because you know what the condition is. And listen, this jailer was not ready to die. This man was trembling in fear because his soul was about to die without God. He said, well, preacher, how does one know that if he's saved or if he's not? Well, God gives you a conscience and a soul. And you know what that conscience is telling you this morning? He is either stamping saved, saved, saved by the blood, or he's stamping guilty, 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 lost without God. You know who you are. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. But wait a minute, it's not just physical death. Listen to this. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, listen, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now listen, I was born and raised in Mississippi. I did finish all 12 grades. And listen, best I can figure, you can't die the second time unless you die once. Come on, help me out. Am I right? There can't be a second death unless there's a first one. You say, well, preacher, what's that first one? That's when we lay your body out here in a casket. It's called the physical death. And when your body is laid out in front of the pulpit and whoever does your service, what are they going to say about you? You see, that is the physical death. But what I'm talking about here in Revelation 21:8, he's talking about a second death. This is not a physical death, my friend. This is the death of your soul. One day you'll hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And the scripture says you'll be taken like carnage and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. What difference is that going to make? Doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. Hey, listen, I can drive down Davis here. It's 40 miles an hour. I can believe all I want to that I don't believe it's 40 miles an hour. But listen, how am I going to explain that to the Arlington Police Department? He says, do you realize, Mr. Lasseter, that it was 40? Yeah, I did. Well, why were you going 80? Because I wanted to. You see, we can try to explain away, folks, whatever we want, but the truth of the matter is this man understood that he was a sinner. He was lost. Listen now, Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to face your Creator one day. And you're going to face the one who breathed into your nostrils and you became a living soul. Listen, this man not only knew that he had a need of salvation, he knew that he wasn't ready to die. And I'm looking at a bunch of people this morning. I'm afraid some of you are not ready to die yet. I'm afraid that some of you aren't ready to die. You know something else that I noticed about this guy? He didn't only realize he was a sinner. He only realized that he wasn't ready to die. You know what they told him to do? Here's what they told him to do. Believe. Did you notice that? They said, simply believe. Hey, when he came to Paul and Silas, he didn't even know if he could be saved. Hey, he might have been one of those guys that gave Silas a knuckle sandwich just the day before. He might have been one of those guys or his buddy. He might have been in attendance while they beat these guys. He just came to him. He didn't know whether he could be saved or not. He didn't even know if he was a candidate or not. You say, well, preacher, how do I know if I'm a candidate? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your right index finger and thumb, and I want you to take your hand, and I want you to pinch yourself just like that. Come on, help me out now. You just pinch yourself like that. You say, well, what's that? Well, did you feel it? You say, yeah, then you're a candidate. As long as you're breathing and as long as you're alive, listen to me, my friend, you're a candidate for salvation this morning. You see, he didn't even know whether he could be saved. Listen, who knows how many people this jailer may have tortured or may have beaten or may have been in the presence of when they killed some of the prisoners. They just simply told him, believe. Believe your sins have separated you from God. Believe that your sins have condemned you to judgment and hell forever. Believe that there's a God in heaven who's ready and willing to save. And to forgive. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Listen, the good thing about it is I don't have to understand what you've done. There's a thrice holy God in heaven that does understand what you've done and still loves you. You say, well, how do I know if God loves me? Well, he said something like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves you. And by the way, did you notice he didn't put any strings attached to it? Hey, we serve a God that's willing to forgive today because the Scripture says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Listen, this is a good word, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that, listen, all should come to repentance. He said, oh, boy, I have a trouble with that last word. What does that word repentance mean? That means this. That means acknowledging who you are as a lost sinner. And turn from your idea about salvation to God's plan of salvation. That's what repentance is. You say, what is that called? That's exactly what Paul and Silas told this man to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I noticed here that he realized he had a need to be saved. He wasn't ready to die. He was just simply told to believe. Listen now, here's the last thing. He was instructed that Jesus was the answer. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let me show you something here. Did you notice they didn't say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because here we are today, there's a lot of people that believe he's the Savior. There's a lot of people that believe that he existed. There's a lot of people in Hollywood that believe he exists because they make movies about him. But listen, he said, if you want salvation, my friend, you can't just believe in him. You got to believe on him. You see this chair right here? I believe in this chair. It's well constructed. Hey, I believe this chair will hold me up. Now listen, how would it be if I said, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in this chair. And I walked over here, this chair, and I just simply did this. I'm trusting this chair. No. I might have believed in it, but I haven't believed on it yet. You see, if you're going to get the salvation I'm talking about this morning in Christ, what you're going to have to do is not believe in it, my friend. You're going to have to believe on it. You see what I'm saying? You see, salvation is not what I've done, it's what Jesus has done for me. You see, now I'm believing on this chair. You see, I'm afraid we got too many people here this morning that you've got a head knowledge and you're going to miss heaven by 18 inches, which is the difference between your head and your soul. You've talked yourself into being saved, but you've never believed on him. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 14:6, Jesus with his own words said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, you need to get this part here. This is important. He said, no man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. No man. And Romans 10:13 then says this, for whosoever. You say, well, who does that mean? That means anybody. Remember this. Pinch yourself again. If you can feel it, you're a whosoever. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand what I've done. I've already answered that question. It doesn't matter whether I understand. What matters is God already understands. Have you ever thought about this? That before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God already knew you were going to be existing before you ever came into existence. So that means he already knew what your sins were from start to finish. And yet Jesus was still willing to die on that cross and take your sins upon Himself. And when He stretched out His arms and He gave up the ghost, He said, "It is finished." It's finished. Now listen, folks, Jesus didn't make a down payment on your salvation. He paid it all once and for all. All you've got to come this morning is come and get it. Come and get it. You see, God didn't design salvation and the way of salvation to be difficult or complex. He designed it to incorporate the grace of God and the faith of man. Let me give you a quick illustration. Do you realize that on that cross that day over 2,000 years ago, there were two other people that died with Jesus? There were two other men that died with Him that day. And both at the very beginning railed on Him, the Scripture says. But one of them, you know what he did? He did the same thing that the Scripture says. He repented. He changed his idea about who he was and what he needed to be saved and got on board with Jesus. And so that thief that was hanging there on that cross that day looked at Jesus and said this, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Well, I'll think about it." He said, "You're a thief. You're a liar." He said, "You deserve to die." Wait a minute now. That's the gospel according to most people. And if it was left up to you to decide who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, most of us would cast people into hell. But that's not what Jesus did with this man. You know what he did? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Oh, listen, I'm going to throw some doctrinal darts at you. You ready? Can I say something to you? He didn't have time to do anything to work himself to heaven. Hey, he was stuck, my friend. He didn't have any way to get out and go do some good works. Listen, all he wanted to do was just be saved. Listen to me, I'm going to duck on this one. He didn't even have to be baptized to be saved. You say, "Oh, preacher, but you don't understand, that's Old Testament. Last time I checked, it's in my New Testament." Now, what I'm saying to you this morning, listen now, he was instructed that Jesus was the answer. He was saved strictly on his faith in Jesus. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it," not just salvation, but faith is the gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, faith was installed in you, my friend, the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb. Most people in here own a computer, don't you? Do you know that when you get that computer on that hard drive, there's already a program that's installed before it ever makes it to your house? Because if it was left up to most of us that are 40 years old or older to try to figure out how to do that stuff, we'd just have to go without a computer. You see, that computer comes already with the installed running program already in there. And may I say to you, listen, that when you were conceived in your mother's womb, you know what was already pre-installed in you? God took a seed and put faith in you. Hey, have you ever thought about the story of Jesus? Nobody gonna believe that. Nobody's gonna believe that story unless the seed of faith by God Almighty has been placed in your heart and in your soul. You say, "Preacher, I just don't know if I've got enough faith to be saved." Well, I'm going to show you one last illustration. I'm going to be praying and be done. See this can of corn right here? When my wife went to the grocery store, and by the way, before I used this illustration, I checked it out. She hadn't opened this yet. So I pulled this off of my shelf this morning, and I noticed it's never been opened. You see, when my wife went to Kroger's and got this, and no offense to some of you others if you work for other grocery stores, but she just happened to get this one at Kroger's. And do you know that when she went to the shelf and she looked and she says, "You know what, we need some whole kernel corn." You know what she did? She reached up there, got the can of corn, put it in the basket and just kept rolling. Now stop here and think about this a minute. Why didn't she go ahead and pop the top on this thing and just double check to make sure there was corn in there? You mean to tell me you're going to trust Del Monte more than you're going to trust Jesus? You mean to tell me that you don't have enough faith to trust Jesus, but you've got enough faith to trust Del Monte that what they put in this can is what's in this can? Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, my dear friend, listen to me. God has already instilled faith in your soul to put your faith and trust in Christ. You exercise faith every day of your life. He just wants you to take that same faith and put it in Jesus. That's all He wants you to do this morning. When you go out and get in your car in just a moment, how many of you are going to lift your hood, check all the spark plugs, or check the computer and run your diagnostic test on your car before you drive? Nobody's going to do that. You know what we're going to do? You're going to do the same thing I'm going to do. I'm going to put the key in there, turn it, push the gas pedal, and I'm leaving. You know what that's called? That's called faith in Toyota. That's what that is. And can I say something to you this morning? Listen, I'm done. God sent you here this morning for a reason. Some of you came this morning with the same question this Philippian jailer came with. What must I do to be saved? And I'm here to tell you, as the voice, let it ring from Paul and Silas, but let it ring from this preacher to you this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And all you've got to do is want to come. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know if the trumpet sounded today, I'm going to heaven. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me, preacher. Not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again Christian, and I know it. No question about it. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to bless this invitation. There were many that could not raise their hands this morning, and I pray that you would move in their heart and that you would show mercy upon them this morning. Father, they're here this morning on purpose because someone invited them and they needed to hear what was preached from the Word of God. And Father, some may be doubting whether or not they've got enough faith to be saved, but yet the thief on the cross had enough. All he did was believe. And yet, Father, we exercise faith every day of our life. And I pray that those this morning that may have a question about their salvation would settle it today before a thrice holy God. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. There was a whole number of people that couldn't raise your hand. Listen, I'm for you this morning. I want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved more than this preacher wants you to be saved. I don't want you to leave today without Christ. How many of you this morning would say, preacher, I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I just don't know it. I want to, preacher. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven. I do want to go to heaven. I just battle with doubt. I battle with fear. I battle with some things in my life, preacher, and I'm just not sure that heaven's my home, and you'd let me pray for you. If you're here this morning like that, nobody's looking but me, I want you to slip your hand up. Say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up because I want to see you. Just slip it up. You can slip it right back down. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You can put your hands down. How many else? How many will join these about 10 or 12 that raised their hand? Listen to me. If you're here this morning without Christ, if you don't accept the Lord this morning, you're going to go off into an eternity without God. Don't let that happen. I don't let that happen. Anybody else, you say, preacher, that's me. If I'm not sure if I died today, I'm going to heaven. Just slip it up. Slip it up. If you couldn't raise it just a moment ago, slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. There's 13 people right there. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up, and I'll pray for you. God bless you. There's 14. You can put it back down. There's 15. God bless you. Just slip it up. 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 All right, God bless you. There's 16, 17 right there. You can put your hands down. Who will join these 17 that have raised their hands? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know if I've died today. I've been born into the family of God. God bless you. There's 18. Who will raise your hands? Who's going to be number 19? Anybody in the balcony, just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. There's 19 right there. Who's going to be number 20? Listen, folks, we're talking about your soul. We're not talking about games here. We're talking about your everlasting soul this morning that's going to die and go somewhere. I want it to be with us in heaven. Anybody else will join these 20? 20, who will join it? God bless you. There's 21 right there. Anybody else, just slip it up. God bless you. There's 22, 23 right there. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. You say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right? You can slip your hand down. The Father, there were 20-some-odd people that raised their hand, said they knew not Christ. Today could be the day of their salvation if they'll come. Father, you're willing to draw all men and women and boys and girls and teenagers to you this morning so that Christ might have the preeminence in their lives. Father, you're not trying to hide salvation. You're willing to give it freely today if they'll come by faith and just put their faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please give these people strength and grace this morning that they would come and obey you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. If you're one of those 23 that raised your hand this morning, and you say, preacher, I mean business. I'm talking about I mean serious business about my soul this morning. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. But you 23 that raised your hand, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open, lift your head up, and I want you to look right up here at me. Nobody but those 23. Just look right up here at me. Look right up here at me. Look right up here at me. Let me ask you something. Did you mean that? Did you mean that? Did you mean that, ma'am? Did you mean that, sir? Did you mean that, young person? Did you mean that, dear man? Right over here in this section, did you mean when you raised your hand, did you mean that? Are you that concerned about your soul that you're saying, preacher, I want to be born again? Did you mean that? Ma'am, did you mean that? Sir, did you mean that? Then here's what I'm going to have you do this morning. We're talking serious business. We're talking about your soul. There's only one, and the Scripture says it's the only appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And if you slipped your hand and you mean business, I have people waiting to deal with you. If you're a lady will talk to you from the Bible about your soul. If you're a man will talk to you. Listen, if you mean business about your soul, here's what I want you to do. Nobody's looking except these 23. I want you to stand up right where you are. If you mean business about your soul, just stand up. Stand up right where you are. Just stand up right here. Right here. Stand up. Just stand to your feet right where you are. Just stand to your feet right where you are. I've got people that are already ready to come to you. Just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Right over here. Right over here, gentlemen. Just come on down. Come on down. Just stand up. Come on down. Soul winners, just grab a lady by the hand. Grab a man by the hand. Come on down. Hey, listen, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about your eternal destiny today. Just come on down. Come on down. We've got people to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Anybody else? Here's a lady right here. I need a lady right here. Right here. Come on down. Hey, we're going to sing. We're going to have music here in just a minute. We're talking about your soul. Come on. Here's another lady right here. I need a lady right over there. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about eternity. Just stand up. Stand up. We'll wait on you. Just stand up. There's another one right there. Come on. Just stand up right where you are. We'll have somebody come to you, show you how to be saved. All right? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? All heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. How many would say, preacher, I'm already a born-again Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please, preacher, pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. All right? God bless you. Anybody else? I'll pray for you. God bless you. There's two. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. There's three. Anybody else? God bless you. There's four. Anybody else? God bless you. There's five. Anybody else? You can slip your hand down. God bless you. There's six. There's six. There's six. Anybody else will join these six? Say, preacher, I'm already a Christian. Never got baptized for some reason. I just never did it. Then let me ask you, for those of you that raised your hand just this morning, and you say, preacher, I'm already a Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. It's not that I'm opposed to it. It's just I never did it. And you're willing to come this morning and obey God and believers' baptism. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to play here in just a moment. I'm going to ask the music director to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, I'm going to have you stand. I want you to come. I want you to come. If you need to be baptized, you can obey God this morning. Hey, listen, you know how much better it's going to be feeling here in just a moment to go out here and eat some barbecue knowing you're right with God? Oh, it's going to be a great feeling this morning. Now, Father, I ask you, bless this invitation time. We thank you for the power and the Spirit of God that's met with us this morning. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want everybody to stand to our feet. The instruments are going to begin to play. Brother Shaddix is going to begin to sing. Listen, if you raised your hand this morning, you said, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved, and you're willing to come, you come. Come on out of the balcony. Let's go. Come on, if you're in the balcony, you said, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. Come on. Come on. If you're in the balcony, you'd say, preacher, I have some doubt about salvation. If you're on the bottom floor, you come on. We'll have somebody take your side and show you out of the Bible and give you assurance out of the Bible. You come on. Come on. Come on. I need a lady right here. Lady that knows how to lead somebody to Christ right here. Come on. Come on. Brother Ingram. Brother Ingram. Brother Ingram. Grab this gentleman right here. I need another lady right here. Need another lady. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right here, Miss Bobby. This dear lady right here. This dear lady right here. She'll take care of you. Come on. Come on. Those of you that are dealing with people at the altar, all you got to do is show them one verse. That's all you got to do. They already have a clear understanding of how to be saved. They just want to put their faith and trust in Jesus this morning. I got a lady right here. Got a lady right here. you're a lady, know how to win somebody to Christ. You've got a lady right here if you're not dealing with somebody already. Those of you at the altar, some have just come to be baptized. Listen, all they need to do is see Acts 2:41 and then get them right down here to one of the ladies to take their name. You come on. Come on.
I'm tired of sin.
This is it. This is it. Are you willing to face God? You willing to face God like you are this morning? Hey, that jailer.